We have a quorum, so we'll go ahead and call the order. I know that we have others expected. I got a call from Doug yesterday, so I know that he's planning on being here. So, roll call.
Smith.
Here.
Cable.
Here.
McBride.
Here.
Moore absent. Sherwood. Absent. Moss absent. Mins.
Here. Yay.
All right. Are there any proposed changes or amendments to the existing agenda? No? All right. So the agenda stands as submitted. Are there any issues or changes to the previous minutes? Okay, hearing none, the minutes stand, and I'll sign those. Now is the time for a public comment. So if there's anything that anybody here would like to comment on that is not covered on the agenda, now is the time to come to the podium and state your business. Okay, no comments. So we will move on. Moving on to additional items, the first order of business is watershed assessment with Leanne Harder.
Keep on promising I'm not coming back when you see me again.
We like seeing you, Leanne. Come on. In whatever your current role is, as it migrates its way around the...
No, I can't even keep you up to date on that.
Well, good afternoon. I'm here to... it's part of a whole, series of presentations staff is giving to various boards and commissions on the watershed assessment and an update of where you are. Jerry's part of the working group, so definitely feel free to chime in to the presentation. I just wanted to kind of give you an update what happened since I was here last and asked for acceptance and recommendation on the watershed assessment and what our next steps are. Stop me with questions at any time, and I hopefully will not take too much of your time. And thank you for letting me come back to you and give you this update. It's one of the main purposes of doing that is to keep this assessment rolling along. Just don't have it go on a shelf and start collecting dust. And so with that, I'm not going to spend time on these first few slides. You guys had an opportunity to receive the report from Emmons and Olivier, our consultants. This is just an overview of what is contained within the report, the various chapters. And then EOR consultant that did the watershed assessment did also give us these recommendations regarding these areas. So this all came to the Planning and Zoning Commission, Story County Conservation Board, and ultimately the Board of Supervisors last October of 2018. The board accepted the watershed assessment report and then directed staff to form a working group, an internal working group, to really then delve into what the recommendations were in the report and come up with a game plan. And that implementation matrix then you saw again last fall, and the board ultimately approved that in December. So what got us to why I'm back here today is in early part of this year, Story County Conservation Director Michael Cox requested through the budget process a full-time position specifically for watershed management and watershed coordination, building on the report and some of the recommendations. Through the work session process, that request was not approved, so that position was not added to the fiscal year 20 budget. Rather, the board directed staff to reconvene, so we had met last fall, made the recommendation, did our job. Then they asked us to reconvene in January 2019 with some changes in membership. Supervisor Linda Merkin was added to the group, along with Margaret James from Environmental Health, our Environmental Health Coordinator. So that gets us to where we start meeting then again. And we did get an opinion from the Story County Attorney's Office that this working group, because we are charged by the Board of Supervisors, is kind of an open-ended time frame at this point. We are subject to open meetings laws of Chapter 21 of the Code of Iowa, so anytime you're interested, come join in and attend our meetings. But we have met three times then this year. And through that, those discussions, we decided there are some other people that need to be on the table, and we've invited them to join us. They've yet not been officially appointed by the board, but they're at least starting the learning curve and get up and going. We've also reviewed the implementation matrix, and you have a copy there of what was on the agenda, but it should look, actually, the formatting and the branding should look extremely familiar because we're following the branding of the C2C plan. And specifically the implementation matrix that accompanies the C2C plan. I'll get to that shortly, too, why we're doing that. But as an internal working group, we went through that was accepted in December, made some modifications on that language, changed a few priorities, but didn't full-scale rewrite anything, created assignments. So Jerry has specific things he's working on or planning development. I have specific things. The working group members all have ownership of the items. And then we developed a goal statement, and that's what that front page is. And then you'll see our overall game plan here shortly. The goal statement I will not read. It's on the screen, but it's also the front page of this. But I do want to point out the four bullet items, and it's on the middle of the screen. And this goal statement helps ensure that Story County, through staff effort, will continue to keep this watershed assessments and the progress we've made thus far alive and continuing. We're charged to communicate current and planned efforts, identify gaps, coordinate joint efforts, and communicate overall county efforts and recommendations to the Board of Supervisors, because ultimately the buck stops with the Board of Supervisors too. They're the ones that set the funding and policy priorities for Story County, so that language is incorporated. So the game plan. Yesterday I went to the Board of Health, gave the very same presentation. I felt a little bit bad giving that though, because they are not up to speed as you guys are. They did not receive the watershed assessment, the process we followed last year. They were identified as a stakeholder and asked to respond to surveys, but were not part of the overall process. So they still, as an entity through this, have some learning to catch up with. Then today, Planning and Zoning Commission. Michael Cox will go to the Conservation Board, I believe, next Monday, April 8th, and then we'll be visiting the Board of Supervisors on Tuesday, April 16th. What we're going to be asking of the Board of Supervisors ultimately is that they formally add additional members to the working group. That would include Scott Wall with the Auditor's Office. Scott is primarily charged as a drainage district clerk for Story County and the drainage district trustees, so he's very important to include in this effort. Keith Morgan, who is the director of Story County Emergency Management, and then our county engineer, Darren Moon. And that's kind of obvious reasons why he's involved as well. And then below is our current membership, as was revised in January 2019. It includes Jerry, myself, Deb Schildroth, Margaret Janes, and Mike, and then Linda Merkin. So going forward, our next steps, if you go to Story County's website and you want to find out what we're doing about watershed planning, you have to drill down about three or four tiers. It's just not in your face. The information there is there, but you almost need to have someone direct you to get there or just be clicking around. We want to revamp how we present and make sure that the public and those that are trying to ascertain the information and be involved are well aware that watershed quality and quantity is a priority of Story County. So we're right now internally through our working group determining the best way to do that. But it won't be drilling down three or four. It'll be maybe one or two. We'll also be preparing outreach materials so that individuals, if they want to know more about the effort, want us to come speak to public groups, whatever it may be, we're all in the same, telling the same story, which is why all the entities I mentioned before are seeing this very same presentation too. We have one that from the working group. We have a time frame that we've set aside that we are or identified that we are recommending to the Board of Supervisors. This committee continues, working group continues to meet from now till whenever without a deadline.
Until you've got all the watershed issues resolved.
Right.
Okay.
Until whenever.
Good luck with that.
I retire in 9 years, so.
That's a good start.
But to keep it at the forefront, we know we need to meet minimally quarterly and report back to entities quarterly more as needed. So we'll be saying a time frame that third Wednesday of every month for 2 hours, this is when we meet. And then that'll be made available on our website too. So again, chat open, subject to open meetings laws, if individuals want to attend and give feedback, they're welcome to. And then the last thing is to amend the cornerstone and capstone C2C comprehensive plan, which is why the branding is brought forward in this effort. Because this implementation matrix says, that I'm discussing with you this afternoon will be added to the implementation matrix for the C2C plan. That's the back end of it. That will be coming at the last part of May.
Was this work item in the watershed and stuff, was that part of one of the original work items kind of that came out of the C2C?
Yes,
it was,
and no.
It was one of the things I remember we talked about that we need to...
In a roundabout way, focusing attention, time, effort, funds towards watershed assessments is in the C2C plan. But beyond that, it was also in the Board of Supervisors strategic plan. And those two, and I think even the Conservation Board strategic plan, those three items in concert is how we got to where we are today.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good question, though. So, with that, are there any questions? And do you have anything you want to add?
I don't think that I have anything.
Oh, thank you. Second time around, I'm...
I'm sure you'll do really well when you go to the Board of Supervisors.
They all don't know that yet.
No. Share with us how much of the work's actually already started. There's a great deal of items that have already been... We're in the process.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So, So the implementation matrix you're seeing is kind of like the public face of it. We have an internal copy for staff that is our way to measure progress. And that's where our assignments, specific LH by something, SW, whatever it may be. And that's a way that we all can hold each other accountable. Make sure that we're going along the path, or if we see there are so many items with a JM by it for Jerry Moore, do we need to refocus and take stuff off Jerry's plate to do this? But as Jerry said, as we started going in December when we presented the Watershed Assessment Implementation Matrix, a lot of things were already starting. We knew that. But even in the 3 months since, those have gone on even further and further. The momentum has really been fantastic. And that was part of our discussion as we prioritized items and looked at really, okay, can we do this right now in the next 6 months? Well, yeah, it's already at this point. The connections that have been made through partnerships too. It's like fingerling, just spreading out. It's amazing. The people that are contacting us for information and our opportunities to go out and meet with other entities too. And we have projects that don't fall under this, like Tedesco. people are hearing about the DESCO Environmental Learning Corridor. I always want to say Center Corridor in Ames. And so they're going on conservation's website to find about all about that. And then, what's this watershed planning all about? And then they're delving into the toolbox and all that stuff. And we're just getting all these kind of a lot from consultants. Hey, we're here to help you on your next step. Because we are, to the best of our knowledge, the only county to have done this thus far. And really trying to pave the way. And we don't have the answers yet, but we're at least trying to still figure out, we're trying to figure out the right questions to ask to get to the right answers to make it go forward. Anything else? I guess you guys have both been involved in some on the periphery.
One big thing that we're working on, if you want to add to anything I say, is the stormwater amendment that we've been working on for at least a year now. You want to tell them like where we're at with it?
We're going to meet one more time with county departments next week and then have two public meetings, more interactive, where folks will be given the ordinance and then they can write their comments potentially on like a large post-it note. We can take those into account too. So we're going to have a lunch meeting and then an evening time meeting for folks as well. And then we'll bring it back to you all.
So the way it's worded on it's worded as additional item, discussion, consideration, blah, blah, blah. It's the same language we've been using we use for the Board of Health on the Conservation Board's agenda. It'll be the same way in except for the recommendations of the Board of Supervisors part. It'll be like that on the Board's agenda too. But it's more than looking for recommendation action from you guys. It's seeing you guys as our partners in this effort, too. Even though we're the internal staff working on it, you're out there representing Story County as well and helping be the eyes and ears of what we can affect or not affect and where the priority should lie.
Well, I am a big proponent of transparency and making sure that if somebody's interested or if somebody's trying to find the information, that it's not three or four levels deep on the page. And that's hard to do when there's a lot of priorities, but it is something that I know is on the list for the Board of Supervisors, and it is something that we've spent a fairly significant amount of time talking about stormwater management and there's been a lot of considerations about water runoff and floodplains and the whole work item that they're working on is the result of applications for development and things that we've seen as well. So it is relevant operationally within the county. And I think, responsibility-wise, it's important to focus on it.
I do, without letting out anything, because we still need to work with our IT department on where we put watershed planning or whatever it's entitled. I don't know. Like you said, floodplain management. It's a whole gamut of items. It will be there. It will be clear that Story County's, what's even still in our strategic plan, water quality and water quantity, whatever we label it, is a key priority of Story County.
It's a front of mind item for everybody in Story County every spring and early summer.
Yeah. I did take down the I don't know if any of you have seen NOAA's spring weather flooding outlook image. It's not good for Iowa and mid-America. We're in the moderate. Iowa, the two, our boundaries on the east and west are major flooding, are already experienced. But the entire state is moderate flooding. And it's pretty severe when you look at the entire picture in the Midwest United States.
It's a 93 again.
I've heard some things that
I have too.
We'll put 93 to shame. Not necessarily for us, but I've heard some predictions that.
Who makes those kinds of projections based on
a lot is
data?
NOAA. NOAA National Oceanic and
Atmospheric Administration.
Yeah.
And if you've been to Nebraska in the last 2 weeks, it's an eye opener.
Yeah.
Over the internet's enough for me. I cry when I look at that stuff.
So thank you. Any more questions? And Cheryl, I mean, I know you're new to the table.
I'm Cheryl.
We can get you the links on where the watershed assessments are online, so you can get
Cornerstone,
them.
Capstone, and some of the foundational documents.
Well, are you going to meet with her?
With Cheryl?
Yeah.
I actually do an orientation. I reached out.
Part of that.
The board just appointed Cheryl yesterday.
Right. So let's. Is there anything other than just the discussion that you are wanting from us?
No.
As a commission?
That's up to you. Like I was saying, it says recommendation. It's an update. I don't know. You have a draft implementation matrix that does look different than what you saw last fall. So I guess if you do want to make a recommendation on that, that'd be fine. And appreciate it.
And agree to be a partner. Process.
I'll make a motion to support the draft implementation matrix and the continued involvement by the Planning Commission with the watershed programs.
Okay, so we have a motion by Sherwood and a second by McBride for support and continued involvement. Is there any discussion about the motion? I just want to comment that, you know, having Jerry involved and part of the thing, are you not on the, were you not, is that not your name on the?
Oh, if there is, I did not
the
know.
Representative.
Nobody
no, it's this Jerry.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I saw Jerry. Yeah, thank you for your support.
That's right.
All right, but you know, we like I said, it is operationally, it's important just from the things that are brought before us because it's part of the maps that are used in evaluation for land use and. And so getting those updated and things that part of that input is coming from this. And so I think it's kind of well integrated with the things that we're doing. And again, it's just important to do. So can we have, we'll just do a voice vote. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right. None opposed.
I don't think I'll see you next month.
Okay. Well, it wouldn't be a problem, Leanne.
Thank you.
All right.
Yes, thank you.
So at this point in the agenda, we're about to start the public hearings, but I would like to take a minute. Let the record show that Moss and Sherwood are now in attendance. We took roll earlier. And... Jerry?
Yeah, I just want to say I'm happy that Cheryl's able to make it. The Board of Supervisors did appoint her to the commission, and we're very excited to have her be in attendance. Thank you for participating. I normally do a brief orientation, and we'll certainly do that next month if you're available. But I'll just let you introduce your background. And
I feel like a newbie sometimes, but I've actually lived close to Soper's Mill for 30-plus years. I'm a teacher in Gilbert, thus I'm a little bit late, and I will try very hard not to be late. I've lived in the county for 40-plus years, and really happy to be on board.
All right,
where's Soper's Mill?
Soper's Mill, do you know McFarland Park?
Yeah, sort of.
Kind of as a crow flies, about a mile from there. Pleasant Grove Church is within walking distance.
And what do you teach?
I teach special ed. I've taught all the way from kindergarten to 21 years of age, and right now I'm at the high school, which is exciting, to say the least.
Well, welcome. Welcome aboard. All right. So moving on to the public hearings, and we have a presentation from staff for CUP 0219.
That is a request from Story County Conservation Board. Ryan is representing the board tonight, and he's the applicant on behalf of the board, and they are requesting to replace the beach house at Hickory Grove Park. So if you're not familiar with Hickory Grove, it's on 250th Street, right near Colo, just to the southwest of Colo, about a mile. And also, it's on, if you take 680th, south of Highway 30. They're both hard surface roads. And so this is Hickory Grove. It extends here, too. I couldn't highlight multiple parcels for some reason today. But it's one of our county parks. And it has a 98-acre lake and one sand beach with an existing beach house, as well as other camping options. But the existing beach house was built in 1969. The beach that's served by the beach house is in the central portion of the park, on the east side of the lake, and about 1,000 feet south of 250th Street, where the entrance to the park is located. Parks are permitted uses in the A1 Agricultural District, which is the zoning district that they're located in. However, any public building or structure has to get a conditional use permit. So you can have a park as a principal permitted use, but structures within the park require a conditional use permit, which is why it's on your agenda tonight. They were granted a conditional use permit in 2016 for a shower building that you may recall. In the northern part of the park, where there is recreational vehicle and travel trailer campsites. And they're also currently undertaking a lake restoration project to be completed in 2020 summer. So this is the surrounding land use. To the north is Country Living Manufactured Housing Community. They have 37 lots. To the east, there's one adjacent parcel with a dwelling. And then to the south, you do have the Lions subdivision, which has several lots and five dwellings. And then you also have a dwelling to the west. But otherwise, it's large agricultural parcels or parcels in floodplain with natural area. So this is a better picture of the floodplain, which mainly just incorporates the lake as the floodplain. Otherwise, on our C2C plan as a park, this is designated as a natural area. So the existing beach house is about 30 feet by 32 feet and has six shower stalls and toilets and a concessions area. And this is what's planned to be removed. So it will be replaced with a new beach house on approximately the same site, same area, same beach. It's just going to be 150 feet northwest of the existing beach house. And that'll give it a more centralized view of the beach. It'll be a better location, more centralized to the beach. So the proposed beach house is a little bit smaller than the existing beach house. It will also have an 8 to 10 foot patio around the perimeter. It will have outdoor rinse showers too in a separate enclosure, as well as four toilets, and it will continue to have the concession stand. There are exterior lights proposed. Those will be shielded and shut off on a timer at 10:30 p.m. when the park closes. And they're hoping to place it in early July. It is a prefabricated building. And as a prefabricated building, it will be designed to match the existing shower house. They can just do concrete block stamping similar to that shower house, so it'll maintain a cohesive look throughout the park. They will use the existing parking lot, which is for the existing beach house. It's a pretty large parking lot. Can fit approximately 65 cars based on, you know, the width of a stall. It's gravel parking lot, so it's kind of hard to say
not
without striping.
Stalls, right.
Yeah. And they do have four ADA compliance spaces as well. Conservation staff estimates an average of 92 beach users per day on weekends and 25 people during the week, so that should be ample parking. There is an overflow area on the access road as well. The park is served by a wastewater lagoon, which was permitted in 1967. They are proposing to get a new wastewater management system for the park by the end of the completion of the rehabilitation of the lake, so summer 2020. There are some leakage issues. There are going to be fewer toilets in this new beach house, so the loading won't increase in the short term, especially with the lake restoration going on. So in the environmental health indicates once the restoration is complete, loading into the wastewater system may increase. But again, that will be in July, June 2020, which is the same time frame conservation plans to have completed the new wastewater system. So it shouldn't be an issue. This is the site. So this is the RV campground. Here's the main access. And then you can see this is the parking lot for the beach house. The existing beach house is here. And this is the proposed beach house. I have a more zoomed in picture too. So this is the site plan that was submitted. You can see there's the four stalls and the concessions area connecting to this is the shower, outside shower area. So there's two showers. And they are also proposing native prairie and to replace trees that will be removed as part of construction. They will also be using a silt fence during construction to protect the lake from erosion. This is a more zoomed in look. So you can see this is the beach. So the new beach house location, it'll use the existing parking lot, the existing trails, but it'll be more centralized in the site. So that improves the view and also access from the parking lot and to the beach for folks from that beach house.
Where's the playground?
It is just, if you look at the top left side of that picture.
Is it this?
It is that right there, yep.
Okay.
Just to the mm-hmm. northwest of the parking lot there.
And this is an elevation drawing. That was an example of what it may look like. This is some site photos looking east at the beach house site. This is looking northeast at the parking lot and the trail that will be used to access the beach house. This is looking northwest at the beach and the lake and the beach house site. And I think you can kind of see the parking lot back here, or not the parking lot, the playground in the background there as well. And this is looking at the west at the beach and the lake. And this is the existing beach house that will be removed. This is the parking lot looking south towards that existing beach house and the new beach house site. And this is looking north on the access road from the parking lot. This is looking north on the access road at the park entrance. And this is the new shower building, just for reference for what it looks like. Excuse my terrible photography, but it looks nice. Go check it out sometime. So standards for approval for the conditional use permit. The first standard to look at is if it's compatible with the vicinity and the character of the zoning district. So again, parks are a permitted use in the A1 agricultural zoning district. This is an established park. And it has an established beach house that will simply be replaced with the approval of this conditional use permit. The beach house will be located in the central portion of the park, not visible from adjacent properties. And it will be on the same site as that existing beach house as well. So there's no real changes other than a new beach house. And it will be designed to match the new shower house that we just saw. Similarly with transition, again, this is located central part of the park, 1,000 feet south of the park access. So you really can't see it from adjacent properties. But being in a park, there is a lot of established trees that provide additional screening just around the parking lot as well as throughout the park. So again, adjacent properties can't see the beach house, but within the park, there's also a lot of screening from existing trees. Traffic's likely to continue at similar levels given that the use is established, but this is located off paved county roads. The access road is also paved, just the parking lot is gravel. And there is an existing parking lot as well as ADA spaces. That existing parking lot moving into parking loading is 65 stalls, which is adequate along with the overflow parking available for when there's more folks on that access road to the park. There's no additional screening required of the parking lot. It does have a lot of trees around it that provide screening, and they're not expanding it at all. And then for signs and lighting, there will be the existing directional and park signage. There's no new signage proposed except on the bathrooms. And then the lighting we already talked about, but there will be shielded exterior lighting on the outside of the building set on a timer to go off when the park closes at 10:30. And then regarding environmental protection, so this is a county park. The development will help enhance a county park. It's part of recent and forthcoming improvements, including the lake restoration project and the new wastewater treatment system that will be installed. Again, Story County Conservation plans to install the new wastewater treatment system by July 2020. We're recommending that as a condition that they install it by the fall of 2020. And again, we looked at the construction drawings, but there will be new landscaping proposed and silt fencing and replacement of existing trees that are impacted during construction. If the board concludes that all of the previous standards are met, it shall approve the application unless you conclude, based on the information submitted, that if completed as proposed, there's a strong probability the development will not adequately safeguard health, safety, and general welfare of persons residing or working in or adjoining the surrounding property, impair adequate supply of light and air, unduly increase congestion in the roads, diminish or impair established property values, and not be in accord with our C2C plan or ordinance. So we've gone over a lot of the facts related to these findings already, but just to pull a few out that we haven't discussed. So unduly congest roads, hazard from fire, flood, or similar dangers. I wanted to point out that with the overflow parking on the access road, that access road is over 1,000 feet from the park entrance, so it provides ample space. If folks were to park on the shoulder, it wouldn't back up to the park entrance just because that access road is so long and winds from the park entrance, which is about 1,000 feet away. There's no construction happening in the floodplain. And we did route this to Story County Emergency Management that asked about having a severe weather shelter in the building. The shower house is the severe weather shelter for the park currently. That's the new shower house. It fits 176 folks. Approximately, and so we asked conservation if they would be interested in having a severe weather shelter in this beach house. It's not in the budget, but this is a precast concrete of 4 to 8 inches in thickness. It's a vast improvement over the existing building in terms of the shelter. And so they also provided us with their tornado warning procedure for the park. So, you know, the ranger will go out and notify folks that to seek shelter. There's access from this beach to that shelter. It's about 1,000 feet away, but you can get there by road, so vehicle, or there's even a trail that connects. So we felt that was sufficient to have a plan in place, as well as another storm shelter on the site that is accessible. And then finally, another standard is if it's not in accordance with the intent, purpose, or spirit of the ordinance, it shouldn't be approved. We find it is in accordance with our C2C plan and ordinance. This is a natural area. Generally, we're supposed to discourage development in these areas, except in unique circumstances, where appropriate development types are enhancing the area. And that's what we're doing here. We're enhancing Hickory Grove Park, allowing more people to access a county park and recreate in the park. And this is, one of the many projects happening right now with the restoration of the lake to help water quality at the park, as well as the installing of the new wastewater treatment system. We routed this to county departments. They had comments regarding the wastewater system and when the new treatment facility will be installed. Environmental Health did, and they recommend it, that there's a condition on the installation timeline of that. And then Emergency Management had the comments about the storm shelter. And we did mail public notice to property owners within a quarter mile. No comments were received, and we also routed this to the city of Colo. So again, just some points to consider. We're in a natural area designation, but this is a county park that we're working to enhance through this request. There is an existing beach house that's simply being replaced that's been there since 1969. There are plans to install a new wastewater treatment system by July 2020, and that's recommended as a condition. The proposed beach house will be located on the same site as the existing beach house, and that site is in the central portion of the park, not visible from adjacent properties, pretty well screened, as well as far away from road right-of-way. And standards for lighting, erosion, and stormwater control are all met. So with that, we recommend alternative two, which is approval with a condition that the new wastewater treatment system is installed by fall 2020. And I can answer any questions. And Ryan is here too.
Can we look at the site plan again?
Sure.
I'm just curious how someone possibly in a wheelchair gets from the new shower facilities and bathrooms to the beach and to the play area.
Yep, so as part of the lake restoration project, they are making an ADA accessible path to the beach.
Is it on the site plan?
No, because that's part of a different project.
This is just the beach.
This is the CUP for approving the beach.
Yeah, but I'm just considering the other project as well because it connects to this one.
Maybe Ryan, could you show how it's going to connect?
There's to access this specific building, we have ADA parking right here. And there's a poured concrete sidewalk that attaches to this limestone trail here. There's also two more spots here. You can connect with this trail. This trail will connect directly to this building. So as far as building access, that's how we're currently doing that. As far as beach access, we do have an access road right here. When we do this lake restoration, we'll actually be redoing this area. This is what you can't tell is there's an elevation, major elevation here.
I can see.
This is the steep hillside here. We'll actually be building up this parking lot right here with access from our boat ramp. So this whole area will be a big parking lot, and we'll have ADA spots there with a sidewalk down to the beach.
So if someone in a wheelchair needs to use a restroom, they go up through that parking lot and then back up to the.
Yes.
That's the way they would.
And that's not overly convenient. We understand that. Unfortunately, that large elevation gap. That's our current.
They can't get there now.
Yeah, but they're putting in a new building.
I know that. it would be very hard.
I just also want to point out the lake restoration is underway.
It is.
So it's happening now.
Yeah.
It's in progress.
Well, I just thought I should ask.
Sure.
Because I didn't see it clearly.
I have two questions. One is, what's the plan for the restoration of the old building site when it's removed?
Mm-hmm. Currently, our plan is just to cap the existing utilities that are there and then remove everything that's there, the concrete pad in the building.
Is there any plans for like landscape restoration or anything, or is it just, are you going to break up the concrete pad and remove it?
That's the plan. So long term, future plans include putting up a nice picnic shelter there, but we don't have that. That's not part of this project.
All right. So you're not going to do landscape restoration there because there's going to be some sort of other structure built there. Okay.
Yeah.
Which is why you didn't include that plan in this. And then the other thing is I'm kind of confused on the wastewater treatment dates, because I saw a recommendation from like Environmental Health that said fall of 2019.
Right.
I've seen fall of 2020, and then I saw July of 2020.
Yep. So Environmental Health's comment was that Conservation Director Mike Cox anticipates a fall 2019 treatment facility installation.
Mm-hmm.
While that's an awesome, aggressive goal, we asked what the latest possible date would be, basically, since this is a condition of the conditional use permit,
mm-hmm.
and that would be to have it completed with the lake restoration in July of 2020.
Okay.
As planning staff, we understand construction schedules sometimes get bumped back with weather delays and that kind of thing, so we decided to give them till the fall. Would okay. be the recommended condition. But you could change that as the board.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else from the presentation? Okay.
Nope.
So is there any public comment? Ryan's not here as public. He's a mm-hmm. participant. All right. So now is the time for staff commission discussion. To talk about this, the recommendation is to approve the CUP for the replacement building. And we've heard some additional descriptions about things that are happening. I do also understand construction delays and things. I guess my concern with saying yes to the CUP, but you can do the wastewater system later.
Mm-hmm.
My concern with that is the park has been fairly well used, right? I mean, there's people that live there, you know, through the summer and things, and then people that visit. I think with the lake restoration, it will see increased, right? Because I think part of the reason that it's not as well used as it could be is the reason why you're absolutely doing the lake restoration, right? So with water quality and issues with the lake itself. So when those issues are resolved, I would expect increased usage. And I don't have a problem with any of the traffic things or anything like that. I just am thinking that if with the restoration of the lake, I would expect that the infrastructure to support water usage from, you know, facilities would be completed at the same time. You're not going to wait. You're not going to open at the beginning of summer or during summer and then say you can finish the bathroom wastewater and fix that, you know, later. That's my only concern. But the existing plan is to have them basically completed simultaneously.
Right. And then they'll hook in, the new building will hook in to the existing wastewater treatment system in the time being as well.
Right.
Can you talk about the design work and the funding of that?
Yeah, and so we've been actively seeking a solution to our wastewater, our sewer system over there for several years. We had some preliminary design plans and investigated the opportunity to hook into Colo's existing lagoon system. We had funding from the Board of Supervisors to do that. Throughout that process, Colo investigated their system and found out they had some infiltration issues that they wanted to address before partnering with us and letting us hook to their system. So with that has been held up for several years now, or at least a full year, as we've been working through this process. And now we are working towards an alternative solution, which is why we're working with Margaret James and Environmental Health to see what our other options are for on-site treatment. So we've been actively doing that. Margaret and Mike have been reaching out to, distributors that sell this type of equipment so they can come and teach us about their systems and what our options, what those systems look like on our site. And been doing that. So unfortunately that system, the on-site systems will be significantly more expensive and we have to manage them. So there's a couple hurdles there. So again, we're actively trying to find those solutions. We don't have those answers right at this very moment, but we're getting closer to them all the time. So.
Okay. Chair?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to approve CUP 02-19 with alternate number two.
Including the, as recommended, with the including the condition or without the condition?
Well, I presume that's all under number two, is it not?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. We have a motion by Cable. Is there a second? Second by Moore. Any staff discussion? I'm sorry, any commission discussion? No? All right, so we have a motion by Cable supporting CUP 0219 as suggested, recommended as option two by the by staff, including the recommended condition of wastewater treatment system completed by fall of 2020. Can we have a vote?
Cable.
Yes.
Moore.
Yes.
Smith.
Yes.
McBride.
Yes.
Mins.
No.
Sherwood.
No.
Moss.
Yes.
Okay, so the motion passes for a recommendation to approve to the Board of Adjustments. All right. All right. That is the completion of our agenda items. Now is the time for any additional comments or items from staff.
I just want to say thank you again to Cheryl for coming. Short notice, again, the Board of Supervisors made the appointment. It's nice to have the full commission.
I was going to say this is, I think, the first time we've had a complete quorum in a really long time.
Right.
I mean, it's probably been a year that we've had and not had a meeting with everyone present at a meeting.
So, it's nice to have a full commission.
Agreed.
The target on the stormwater ordinance is to have that before you in May. Like I mentioned, we've been working on it for at least a year, and there's been several revisions to it. We've been working with environmental groups, builders, developers. Internal reviews have occurred, and so we think we're in the final stretch.
Excellent.
I'm excited about the opportunity to bring it to you. Just a few things that we're working on. Since the snow melted, the activity level has just gotten pretty wild. It's been fun days. So we do love what we do. Projects.
Most days is what I read into that. Yeah.
We're going to be working on a rezoning and a minor subdivision plat at 560th Avenue and 300th Street. Leon Woodkirk made an initial submittal. We're waiting for some drawing information there, but that'll be before the Planning and Zoning Commission in May. We're working on some residential parcel subdivisions. Those typically are taking a situation where you have an existing dwelling and the proposal from the landowner to develop once to create another lot for a dwelling. Those go to the Board of Supervisors for review after they meet the county's requirements. And we've had the special events ordinance that the Planning and Zoning Commission reviewed a couple of years ago. The Board of Supervisors approved, and we just received two applications. So we're taking a look at those. We had our first meeting on one. Scott Wall, who's an employee here, is the race coordinator for that one.
It's a bike race.
Bike race. Sunny Heights Bed and Breakfast will be the hub where the race will start. Primarily, it will be in the unincorporated area. I think about a 6-3 mile course. May 18th is that race day. And then there's another event. It's a triathlon, swimming, running, biking. The swimming and the running portion will be in the city at Ada Hayden. That race did get permission from the Parks and Rec to do swimming in the lake because it's not open for swimming. They've got special permission for this race. This is scheduled for June 30th. And then the bike portion will be just north and west of the Ada Hayden Park. And so we have our first meeting to talk about that tomorrow. A little bit of sad news to tell you, and that's where Emily has given her resignation. She's moving on to
village called Germantown in Wisconsin, which an area where she is from. So we really appreciate all the work that she's done. She's been a really good employee and coworker, and we're going to miss her greatly. But I think she's happy about her next phase in her professional career. So her last day is with that wall.
So we will not see her at any further meetings. So please convey our appreciation from the commission and that she has the tag team of the newbies of Amelia and Emily when they join have done an outstanding job and that she'll be missed. So appreciate her.
I will tell her that we've posted a position to replace her. You know, we hired a new intern. He's a grad. Great Gabriel Nelson. He's a community regional planning graduate student from Iowa State. And his first day is May 20th. So
okay.
Good to have him on board.
Okay, yeah, especially in that transition time. As summer ramps up, yes.
Yeah. That's all I have for you.
All right, excellent. I would love to call the meeting and say we get out of here in under an hour. Set a record of some sort in recent. But I have a couple of things. One is during the, and this is just a matter of disclosure, during the process of the new commission member, so the process for interviewing and how that happens involves interviews conducted by the Board of Supervisors members or however they arrange that, and it includes an opportunity for the chairman or for I think a member of the commission to sit in on those, not necessarily to participate or interview, but to sit in, and there was a lot of difficulty in getting a lot of those interviews scheduled, and that changed several times, so I wasn't able to sit in on those. Also, the process requires that the interviewees are given, that the questions that they're asked are consistent across. So if you're a person conducting an interview, you're asking the same questions of all of the people that you meet with. And I'd requested a written copy of what questions were going to be asked, thinking that if you're going to be consistent in asking questions, you're going to have a list of them, and never got that response from either Linda Merkin or from Laura Solson, who were conducting interviews. So just in disclosure, trying to participate as a commission in the replacement, that process was difficult to coordinate. The other thing is that I was contacted directly by one of the applicants. There was an applicant whose name I don't remember. I'm sure I could locate it, but it was a person that lives in Southern California that was applying to be on the commission because they own a trailer park in question within the county and were trying to be on the commission, which they were ineligible because they don't live in Story County. But that person called and left me a voicemail trying to contact me, and then somehow looked up through people search over the internet, somehow got my wife's phone number and was calling her trying to get hold of me, and so never actually spoke directly to the person, but there was an attempt there. So it was whatever. It was interesting, but... anyway, yeah, but I congratulations and welcome to Cheryl. But I also know that there have been some hiccups in that interviewing process. So nothing against you.
And to remember the questions.
Welcome and welcome. No. I'm just saying that as a process.
Yeah.
Right. It should be, again, transparent and should be consistent. This is something that happens not just for us, but for other positions in public service. And, you know, I think there should be a recommendation that they do have written questions ahead of time. Not that they should be limited to having discussions or anything, but the idea that if the requirement is that they have consistent questions, then how do you do that if you don't have them and can provide them?
Yeah, but what about follow-up questions?
No, right, and I'm saying I'm not eliminating the opportunity for discussion, but you should at least have a starting point, right, a template of what it is, how you're going to conduct the interview.
Did the supervisors agree on some kind of list?
There is a process, and there is a documented county process for how this is supposed to be, and that is one of the conditions that they're supposed to have consistent questions across. That was
and
one
they're
of
trying to include the chairs of the different commissions for the people that they're appointing to be involved in that process. And I will definitely relay this to my supervisor, Deb Sheldrop, and let her communicate that to the board.
Thanks.
But Jerry, I'm going to join in on this one. So again, Cheryl, welcome. This is no reflection on you. Marvin referred to a few hiccups. So I was contacted by another candidate who was not happy and felt that the interview was conducted in a very unprofessional way, indicated that there was no staff member in the interview at any given time, which I believe is a recommendation or even a requirement. I know when I was interviewed, Deb Shildroth was in the room. He felt that the gender equality rule or gender equality guidance of the state was misapplied and was discussed at the interview, which I also believe is in conflict with Iowa law. Then was given a very different message about a conflict of interest from the county attorney and the Board of Supervisors. To be absolutely clear, he was told one thing by the county attorney, and he was told another thing by the Board of Supervisors. This is nuts. I believe that there should always be a staff member in those interviews. The questions, I'm with Marvin, that there should be a list. We at least have some idea of what's being asked. Follow-on questions are common sense, but this one, I believe the county opened themselves up to potential legal action by this candidate. So, Jerry, all I ask is you share that with Deb, and Deb can run it up the flagpole. I think not having a staff member in interview, not having a staff member present in interviews is insane. And I believe
why do you say that?
It's always been that having that person there, Jerry, protects the county from legal action. That person is.
There was no staff member when I was interviewed.
I think that this has been directed by the county attorney to the Board of Supervisors within the last year, if I remember correctly.
I'm looking at the policy right now, and I don't see that is part of the current process to have a staff member in there. So there's been some changes since the new board.
Fair enough.
But we will definitely communicate that today.
Thank you, Jerry. I appreciate that. As you guys can all tell, I got an earful. And this is a gentleman I know well, is not a hothead. So, and I do know that he sat down with the county attorney and had quite a conversation about this. That should not have to happen at a board like this.
All right.
So I have one other real quick thing.
Sure.
If that's okay. Not related to the interview at all. And again, Cheryl, welcome. This is nothing that reflects on you at all. Okay. So
please come back next month.
Yeah. All right. So Amelia and Jerry, if it's possible, we can tell this is the second meeting. We've had no members of the public here at all. And I would like to see us follow the lead of Ames in having our agenda posted sooner rather than later. Ames's rule, I don't call it a rule, but their guideline, I don't think it's broken very much, is that their agendas are all posted the Friday prior to the meeting. And I had a member of the public say that he thought that they were, not the same person, by the way, said that he felt that we were particularly the county, all commissions, by posting the agendas at the last minute, we're attempting to not get people to come to the meetings. I said, that is so far from the truth. We need to encourage people to be here. I would also like to have the agenda earlier so that if over the weekend I'd like to go out and take a look at a property that we're considering, we had that ability to do so.
If we can take an Amelia road trip and
yep.
Go out and drive to.
Sure.
Yeah, we definitely appreciate that. Those comments. We typically try to post the Friday before the meeting because then that gives you the weekend and then a couple of days to take a look at it. But I can tell you if there's
sometimes we have situations where we don't have all the information yet, and we're still working on the staff recommendation, and I don't, and that falls on me. I'd rather get the information, get it right, and then do our posting. Sometimes we're waiting till Monday on occasion.
I'd rather have a preliminary agenda posted earlier, because it's not finalized until we get in here and approve the agenda anyway, right? So is there a problem with saying, here's a preliminary, and then, you know...
You talk about what the items might be?
Just highlight
the actual documents?
Yeah. We can attach documents to it as we finalize, but it would be good to...
We usually know what we're going to have.
All right. All right.
It's primarily the details of the report.
There's the input, right? Okay. So Friday would be better, or sooner would be better.
Yep.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, we definitely want.
I know, especially this time of year, there's a lot of activity and a lot more applications. So I know working through those processes, you maybe don't get things. You want to get things as front loaded as possible so that they're not sitting an additional month waiting for the next meeting and everything. So I appreciate that. I get it.
And I'll say one thing, too. Is everyone signed up to receive notifications when the agenda departments? You can receive an email or a text message?
Or both.
Yeah, I get the email.
You need to go to the Agenda Center and click on Notify Me to sign up for that, and we can pick
how you want to be notified.
Is
that awesome?
Yeah, I get the email, and then I go to the agenda and look at, you know, click on the documents. That's how I know. Yeah. So, all right.
It saves some trees that way.
Yeah.
Back in the old days, we used to deliver or mail.
All right.
We like saving trees.
You want to save the trees.
Yeah. No arguments.
I'm not sure just saving the tree. It's Hickory Grove.
Is there any other...
I just want to say that. Our meetings are sometimes, oftentimes they are well attended, it seems. I mean, there are members of the public. This is like one of the few times, I think, in the last 2 years that there's nobody here.
Nobody's personal land is involved.
Exactly. This CUP, I think, was, you know, internally generated, and there wasn't a conflict because of... Yeah.
Well, we honestly like to hear from people. We like to hear it early, so I understand totally. So sometimes we're able to make adjustments with our recommendation if we hear from people and what their concerns are, and we get busy right away.
All right. Any other commission comments? Do we have a motion for adjournment?
So moved.
All right. Second. All right. So.
Words in American language.
Do what?
That's three words in English language.
Motion to adjourn.
Still good.
I know, an hour and 10 minutes. That's not a